Today's scripture reading is Luke 2:22-40. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with that is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do to him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, the light of revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your peoples, Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said, "Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be the sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword would pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at the very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the children to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Mary and Joseph had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and grace of God was on him. Amen.
Okay, so I'm sure you have either heard it said or have been one of the perpetrators that have actually said to a kid when they have reached a particular milestone age, that you may have said, "So, how does it feel to be 8? How does it feel to be 12? How does it feel to be 16 or 18? You know, nobody has said to me, "How does it feel to be whatever age I am?" for a really long time. That's probably because they know the answer is, I hurt more than I did. It's harder to get up than it used to be. But all of that being said, most of the time when we ask that question, we know the answer that we're getting back. They'll say, "Well, it feels a lot the same as it did yesterday." You know, we don't feel different when we cross over some kind of milestone bridge. But we still anticipate these milestones and we celebrate them. We have all kinds of them. We think about 21 is the drinking age and 40 is whatever 40 is. And we have that birthday with the horrible birthday with the black balloons and people give us walkers and things. We'll celebrate retirement. We also celebrate days. There's particular days. We just celebrated one. We just celebrate Christmas, where there's so much of a ramp up and lead up toward the celebration of Christmas. We certainly celebrate cultural events like the first vaccine, where it was a big deal to watch the first person who received a vaccine happen. There are these milestones that happen in our lives. But then when we are asked, "So how does it feel now that we've reached that milestone?" If we're honest with ourselves, we say, "Well, it doesn't feel a lot different than it did the day before." You know, every Sunday that we've been celebrating together over the last 4 weeks, you know, we'll say something to the effect of, "It's this fourth week of Advent or the second week of Advent or the third week of Advent. We celebrate the weeks of Advent. There's four of them, and we make this announcement that here we are as steps on a ladder heading toward Christmas. Do you know what the official liturgical definition of this Sunday is? Wait for it. It is officially the first Sunday after Christmas. That's it. It's just called the first Sunday after Christmas. It's literally as if this Sunday is saying to everyone, hey, you know, I'm not that big of a deal. I'm just the first Sunday after Christmas. It's like constantly living in the shadow of Christmas. You know, it might be, if you listen to the passage that we just had, it could be called Naming Sunday. It's the eighth Sunday after the birth of Christ, which is when Jesus was named, circumcised, and named. Yeah, but that doesn't seem all of that interesting of a way to say things, especially when that was just a thing that would happen, because you know what happened after that day? A month. A month just went by. In fact, that entire month is just kind of skipped over. In the Gospel of Luke, you have this statement that on the eighth day, Jesus was circumcised and named, and then it just jumps. It jumps to this story about going to the temple for what's called a purification, which would have happened 40 days after the birth of Christ. So this story that we get today happens over a month after the birth of Christ. A month where Mary and Joseph are just hanging out in Bethlehem, being new parents, raising a child, figuring things out, probably staying with extended family. A month of just regular days. A month of just the second day after Christmas, the fourth day after Christmas. On and on and on. A month goes by. A month in Bethlehem. But then as they enter into this temple, there are these two characters, Anna and Simeon. This was just going to be a regular show up at the temple, because every Jewish family brings their firstborn to the temple to dedicate to God. This was part of their life. It was just part of ritual. It was rather ordinary. But Simeon and Anna take note of this child, and they see something extraordinary in what everyone else saw as ordinary. See, Simeon had been told by God that he was not going to die until he saw the Messiah, until he saw the promise of God fulfilled. When he saw Jesus, he knew exactly what he was seeing. He went and he celebrated the child and literally said, now I can die in peace because I have seen the promise of God fulfilled. Anna, who is also well into her 80s, looks over and sees the commotion, and because she is also filled with the Spirit of God, recognizes exactly what's happening and comes over and starts praising God. And like any true grandmother, goes and tells everybody in the world that she runs into about this Christ child that was born. You know, it's really this extraordinary moment that looked rather ordinary. I imagine that everybody in the temple that was looking on saying, why are those old people making such a big deal about this young family? Clearly, they're just a poor young family. You could tell that by the offering that they brought. They were bringing pigeons instead of sacrifices, because that's what the law allowed for people in poverty. But I think we can learn something from Anna and Simeon. And I think what we learn is that through the right lens, what seems to be ordinary is actually extraordinary. See, life in the promises of God is like that. In our lives, it's not all revivals and excitement. It's not all Christmas Eve services, though wasn't that Christmas Eve service a good time? It's not all like that. It's not all these ecstatic experiences and prayers that end with laughter or tears. It's a lot of just ordinary days. But in those ordinary days, with the right lens, with the lens that God gives us to see the promises of God, we see the extraordinary in the ordinary. We see God at work in people's lives. We see God at work in children. We see God at work in the elderly. We see God at work in the middle-aged people. We see God at work in our neighbors. We see God at work in our coworkers. And we see ourselves not just living a regular old day, just the day after something, but we see ourselves living in the extraordinary story of God. And we get to be participants in that story. You see, the fact that this child existed, that Jesus was all that they needed. All that they needed to pass from this life with joy. See, they never got to see any of the things that they were celebrating. See, Jesus went on and just lived a regular kid life. Jesus didn't have his baptism until he was 30 years old. The ministry of Jesus didn't begin for 30 years, most likely 30 years after the death of Simeon and Anna. They didn't get to see it. They died as subjects of Rome, not having experienced the promise of God. But the peace, the joy that they had was in knowing the fact that it was here. Do you have that lens today? Or are you also living in the first Sunday after Christmas kind of spirit, where this is just an ordinary day, nothing special, nothing to look forward to? We woke up today and we're still in the middle of a pandemic, even though we see some hope on the horizon. The days are still cold and they are dark. I'm still tired of Zoom. My heart breaks for the mounting loss of life. Each day feels as dark as the day before. But if you look through the lens of Christmas, if you look through the lens of the Christ child, well, maybe today is not just the first Sunday after Christmas, but maybe today is the first Sunday of our healing. Maybe today is the first Sunday of racial justice in our country. Maybe today is the first Sunday where we can erase the economic gap and begin eliminating systemic poverty. That would be a Sunday worth naming. Maybe it's the first Sunday of no cancer. Maybe it's the first Sunday of gender equality. Maybe it's the first Sunday where no one is marginalized for their sexual orientation or their place of birth. That feels like a better Sunday than just the first Sunday after Christmas. But you know, all of those things are the first Sunday after Christmas, because as Simeon and Anna have taught us, when they see the Christ child, they know that the kingdom of God is coming.